My hope is that it gives parents and children one more tool to connect in this very digital world, to have those really important moments together right before they go to sleep.
Welcome to The Lisa Show, where we take a good look at life. I was recently speaking with a fellow mother about an evening get-together. And when I asked her how long we wanted to stay out, she said, "As long as it takes for my kids to already be in bed when I get home." And boy, do I remember those days. So why do we dread bedtimes as parents? Oh, I don't know. Is it because it feels like we're stepping into a ring with an opponent who has a heck of a lot more energy than we have? Is it because the kids who don't need any liquid the rest of the day suddenly want to consume 48 ounces of water out of Dixie cups? Or maybe it's because every trick I know works better at putting me to sleep than putting them to sleep. Bedtimes can definitely feel like a hurdle, and that's just a regular Tuesday night with sleepy kids. Add anxiety and other complications into the mix, and bedtime can feel downright daunting. Well, this is why I brought my friend Stephanie Roff onto the show. Parents, Stephanie is going to become your new best friend. And that's not just because she's delightful. Stephanie is a professional storyteller who hosts a new podcast on BYU Radio called Wink. It's a bedtime story podcast for littles that helps them and you have a better bedtime experience. Whether you're a parent, a grandparent, or even a babysitter, this episode is for you. The best part is that Stephanie's going to share 4 steps for better bedtimes. This could work for anyone of any age. And when she shared these in the studio, I started frantically looking for the rewind button so I could have a do-over with my kids. They are gold, and I can't wait for you to hear them. Let me introduce you to Stephanie and Wink.
My name is Stephanie Roff, and I am a storyteller, a writer, a mom, and I'm working on a new podcast on BYU Radio called Wink. It's bedtime stories with a mindful twist.
I love this idea. Have you always felt passionately about this?
Yes, I've always felt passionately about stories. I feel like stories are so powerful. Mm-hmm. First of all, Kids want them. I know as a mom, during the day, you know, when we were just doing things, they weren't so interested in giving me their full undivided attention about anything.
Yeah.
But I show up at nighttime with a little chamber stick and a candle ready to tell them a story. And suddenly I have their entire and complete attention. And at the end, they say, "Don't stop there. I want more."
Right.
So I realized fairly early in my parenting that if I wanted to share something important with my children, or if I wanted to give them some of my heart or some of my values, that it wasn't going to be sitting down and talking to them about it. It was going to be telling them a story and weaving those things very craftily into the story.
Yeah. Because presentation matters.
It does matter. And stories stick.
Yeah.
They stay with you. A single conversation may or may not stay with them the rest of their lives. But a story, especially a story that's theirs, that they love, that will stay with them forever.
I was raised by a storyteller. My mom is a storyteller. Like, she did professional storytelling at libraries or at different schools and school events. She did it even as her talent when she ran for Miss Orem to pay for her final year of college. Anyway, but she had that animated storytelling. You grow up with that, it's going to affect you.
Yeah, it does.
In really great ways. As the child of a great storyteller, I can tell you that my mom not only fostered my imagination with her stories, but my listening skills, my attention span, and even my own confidence. And the benefits of stories don't stop there.
I have a friend, and she did her dissertation on storytelling in the family. And there were some really compelling things that she found that really motivated me to want to incorporate storytelling. Yeah. It helps create a family identity. It promotes the transfer of value from parents to children. It influences children to develop positive attitudes toward their parents. It creates a treasured time of fun and connection. The storytelling time facilitates a feeling of safety and security and comfort and belonging. It gives parents a sense of creative fulfillment. It gives parents a place to share important things with children in a non-threatening and memorable way. Cognitively, it helps with language development. It helps with being able to visualize things. Mm-hmm. And if you want a lifelong reader, they're going to have to be able to visualize text. Novels don't come with pictures, right? And one of my favorite things about storytelling is it really helps kids to imagine what it would be like to be in someone else's shoes. And it really helps develop that sense of empathy, which is one of the things that I want for my children, right?
Yes. Empathy. Absolutely.
It's amazing.
I know a lot of people may think, I'm exhausted. I just want everyone to go to bed. Mommy needs to lay down and watch her shows. Or tune out, go to bed, whatever it is.
I was the same. None of my children wanted to go to bed. No one was interested in brushing their teeth until 25 minutes past bedtime, right? I get this. I totally get this. And I had a paradigm shift sometime in my children's early childhood that bedtime is actually one of those times during the day that if you can just come off for like 15, 20 minutes, really connected, you can be like the mom, right? For 15 or 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then that time is actually going to last, fingers crossed, for 8 hours while they sleep. So I can't guarantee that I'm going to be a fantastic mom for that long at any part of the day.
Especially the hours of like 3 to 5.
Right? 3 to 5 are the worst.
Not my best moments. But showing up at that time.
But showing up at that time.
Create it, make it magical.
Right? Create it, make it magical. It becomes a routine and you spend about the same amount of time every time. It doesn't have to be forever. It can really be 15 or 20 minutes, but the feeling lasts the whole night long. And I started to understand that a really great bedtime actually erases a lot of not so great moments during the day for both parent and child.
So not only do bedtime stories benefit our kids, but we actually benefit from them too. And not that I've ever made any mistakes as a parent, but, you know, if I had, this idea of being able to use bedtime as a magic eraser that can sort of smooth over the rough spots of our day together, well, that sounds incredible. So where do we begin? How can we start a bedtime tradition that will bless everyone? Stephanie says that the first step is to establish a routine, regardless of what that looks like for your family.
We learned that going to bed about the same time every night is really important. And so picking a time, and I would say the earlier the better.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to fight you on that one.
Yeah, and not having surprises at nighttime, right? Having kind of a predictable kind of thing. This is what our wind down time looks like. Yeah. And then trying really hard not to change that, I think, is a really great thing to help with your sleep culture.
I love that.
Right? We always chose 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock seemed to be about the right time. But, you know, in every family, it's different, right? You might be a sports family and you might not even get home until 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And that's okay, right? So you have to just choose what time is going to work for your family, but then stick to it. Having the regular things that you need to do just be part of the routine, either like a visual schedule, like we brush our teeth, we get in our pajamas, whatever you do at night to get ready for bed, to have that be something that they can be in charge of and that they know exactly what to do. And then having this treat of like, okay, it's bedtime. Now it's time for a story. Now it's time for connection, right? Something that we did too that's a little out of the ordinary is while our children were small, we actually had them sleep in the same bedroom. It made this bedtime ritual a lot easier for us because we weren't doing it for each separate kid. Because 15 to 20 minutes for each separate kid when you have multiple children ends up being a lot of time. But eventually, establishing that bedtime routine and having that really great, fun connection at night helped us to really create our sleep culture where the kids knew bedtime wasn't something that they were missing out on. Bedtime was something that they were looking forward to.
When my kids were little, I had a few who were just certain that bedtime was a punishment and that everyone who was allowed to stay up later got to jump on the bed and eat marshmallows. So I love this idea that creating a routine that ends with something to look forward to reassures our kids that they aren't missing out on a treat. Bedtime is the treat. The second step to better bedtimes is to create a calming atmosphere.
Part of what I wanted to accomplish with our bedtime story at the end of the day was the sense of connection and coziness and calm. And so I thought about, well, how do I feel calm? would work, right? And candlelight came to mind. I just thought, oh man, when you have a lit candle and the lights are off and you just have the candlelight, there's just something about that that just is so calming. And so I thought, okay, I'll try a candle. And it was an instant hit. They loved it. And then they would have to take turns who got to blow out the candle at the end of the night. And there might be something better for the families that are listening. Maybe you guys like having a flashlight better than a candle. Something to just kind of make it special and different. And then lots of cozy, you know, cozy blankets and pillows and gather up your stuffed animals and dad's in there snuggling and things like that. I didn't think of this back then, but like having a scent. You could have a scented candle. You could totally add scents into the space. You can add music. Music, scents, the coziness, the candle, just make it an experience. It doesn't have to be complicated.
The minute Stephanie mentioned mood lighting, I knew she was onto something. There really is something magical about turning out the lights and turning on a flashlight or lighting a candle. Add some good smells and music, and we've pretty much got our kids' attention wrapped around our little fingers. Once we have a routine in place and have set the stage for bedtime, we are ready for the grand event, the third step, the story.
One of my favorite easy bedtime stories, I call them bright, beautiful, and brave stories. And this is how they go. You look at the child that you're telling the story to, and you begin. There once was a bright, beautiful, and brave boy named and then you name your child's name. And one day, they, and you think about the day, and you think about something that that child did during the day that was story worthy, right? And there are times that that is difficult when you have a child who is like stomping up the stairs saying, I hate you, mommy, because you asked them to put their backpack away or, you know, throws a temper tantrum on the floor at the library and screams so loud that the librarian actually has to plug her ears. These are all things that have happened to me.
Not hypothetical,
folks. These are not hypothetical. No, no, no. So I understand that sometimes it's hard to find the moment, but usually you can find something. Maybe it was that you asked them to put away the silverware, and at first they threw a temper tantrum, but then they tried it. So you weave that into the story. So one day, he was asked to put the silverware away, and it looked like there were 3,000 pieces of silverware. And he did not want to do it, but finally he took one spoon and placed it inside. And then he grabbed another and another, and then he grabbed a fork. And it wasn't long before all of the silverware was put away. But I suppose you're not surprised. Because that's just the kind of boy he is. Bright, beautiful, and brave.
Oh.
Easiest bedtime story ever, right? And they love it. My kids loved their Bright, Beautiful, and Brave stories. Now, you don't have to use Bright, Beautiful, and Brave. You could use Daring, Dynamic, and Debonair. And then your kids will be like, what's debonair? Yeah. Right?
And but you're like,
you can pick your own
kid.
Words or
That's
whatever,
what
right?
Yeah.
But the idea is to just find like a little moment that you can celebrate by putting it into a story.
Bright, Beautiful, and Brave stories are a simple template that you can use night after night with your kids. And as you just heard, the stories don't need to be long for your kids to feel seen and loved. These stories were a game changer for Stephanie when she had a particularly challenging child.
It was a great thing for me as a mom, especially for my fourth child, has ADHD and anxiety. And a lot of times ADHD and anxiety look like behavior problems. So it was an especially good thing for me to force myself to think about something good that this child did during the day, that we could have this moment and end on this really beautiful high note of like, yes, see, I see you. I see the good that you are. I see that you are bright and beautiful and brave. And man, it's my favorite thing.
I see the good that you are. Oh, what an incredible thing for our kids to hear every day. Stephanie shared a moment when all of her bright, beautiful, and brave stories came full circle, and she found herself on the receiving end at bedtime with her son.
There was one night that I just finished the bright, beautiful, and brave story, and he was like, Mommy, I was walking toward the door. I was like, the light at the end of the tunnel. I'm almost done today. I can do this. I'm reaching for the doorknob to go out. And he was like, Mommy, yes, Mommy, can I tell you a story? And I was like, is this some kind of ploy? This could end up being the never-ending story, like, you know, 99 bottles of root beer on the wall. I could be here forever. But I was like, all right, yeah. And I went over and I laid my head down on his bed, and he started, there once was a bright, beautiful, and brave mommy.
Oh.
And every day, she told her children stories, and it filled them up with love. But I guess you're not surprised, because that's just the kind of mommy she is. Bright, beautiful, and brave. And I was like, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to make this bedtime thing happen, I gotta do it. That was incredible. And man, especially when you have one of those kids that just has some things that come out as behaviors, they're really great kids. And it just having those moments, right? Just having yeah. those moments where you can both feel so connected. I don't know if he remembers that at all, but I will remember that the rest
Never.
Of my life.
How would you ever forget that?
I couldn't.
Never.
I couldn't.
Yeah.
I had to practically scoop my melted heart off the floor when Stephanie shared this story. Not only had this child internalized what it meant to be bright, beautiful, and brave, but he was able to identify those qualities in his mom, too. I'm starting to believe that these stories aren't just about helping our kids see the best in themselves, but helping them to see the best in the world and the people around them. Now that's a true superpower. So whether you tell bright, beautiful, and brave stories, or kind, caring, and courageous stories, or honest, awesome, and optimistic stories, the point is to tell a short story that helps nestle our children into a positive place at bedtime. And hopefully that feeling will stay with them through the night and beyond. The fourth and final step to having a better bedtime is to give your kids the power of choice.
There was one moment, and, you know, this child especially was the child that made me look forward to bedtime the most. Bedtime was so hard for him. He just didn't want to be separated from us at all, right? He didn't want to miss out on anything, etc. And he was my one who would always come up with different things to keep me in the room. And there was one night, I gave him lots of choices at night. I would be like, okay, you have three choices. You can have a song, you can have a special kiss, or you can have a bright and beautiful brave story. You can choose two out of those three. And so he would feel empowered to be able to choose what he wanted for bedtime, right? As part of the whole idea of like, you have power here, yeah. Right? This is not just me telling you, you have to go to bed. You have power here.
I've heard parents describe bedtime as a wrestling match, a riot suppression, and even hostage negotiations. In each of these descriptions, we're trying to overpower our kids. But maybe giving them some power back will actually help them go to sleep sooner. And that's what we all want, right? So step number four, give your kiddos some choices in the bedtime routine. Now, if you're hearing this and thinking, okay, I can stick to a routine, I can light a flashlight, but I'm not sure about making up a story each night. Stephanie says, don't sweat it. It's the connection that matters most.
You do not have to be a performer for your children to love your voice. They love your voice because you are their parent. And so you do not need to be a performer. You do not need to be a writer. You do not need to be something other than exactly what you are, because your children love you and they will love your voice. And that is powerful, right? The second thing that I would say, if you're not a natural storyteller or someone who just loves to write stories, that's okay. There are days that you are going to be so tired and so ready for bed yourself that a bright, beautiful, and brave story is not going to be something you can pull out of your pocket. And that is so okay. There are so many wonderful books that you can read and then just read to them. So yeah. If I was too tired, which was a lot of times, I just want you to know, I did not have a new amazing story for my children every night. No, that is unrealistic. Yeah. But children love repetition. They love repetition. They love hearing the same story over and over again. So record what you do. Record yourself reading a book. Record yourself telling a story. And then let them listen to it on those nights that you're so tired you cannot think straight. Right?
Yeah.
Another nice hack.
At the end of the day, the kids really just want to hear your voice. They fell in love with it in the womb, and they still crave it, especially at bedtime. But if you're exhausted and don't have the energy to do the whole bit, just remember a book or even a recording of a book will do. And if you're looking for the ultimate hack to help you at bedtime, then cue up the Wink podcast.
With Wink, we have some specific ways that parents can interact with their child during the story and during the mindfulness portion.
How long is the podcast?
The podcast is 15 minutes.
Perfect. Oh, I was hoping
exactly.
You would say that.
I know what it takes. We can only be cool for so long. So it'll have some things like that.
To guide you along.
To guide you along. I've just experienced so many beautiful things in my moments at bedtime with my children that I really wanted to create something that other parents could use to establish a bedtime routine. And so I have used my experience as a storyteller, as a writer, as a mom, and kind of melded that all together in Wink. I know so much more now than I did at the beginning, and I still do this. I have a 10-year-old at home too, so she gets to hear all the Wink stories first, and she loves them.
Lucky. Yeah.
But my hope for Wink is that it gives parents and children one more tool to connect in this very digital world, to have those really important moments together right before they go to sleep, so that both parent and child can have that really great moment last for like 8 hours and be ready to do it all again the next day.
After talking with Stephanie, it made me see bedtime in a whole new way. I mean, we did stories every night. I liked to read out loud, but her four simple steps for better bedtimes would have been so easy to do and might have made my job as a parent just that much more rewarding. Just to recap, step one, stick to a routine. Step two, set a cozy mood with ambient lighting, calming scents, music, and blankets. Step three, tell a story. It could be a bright, beautiful, and brave story. It could be a book. It could be a recording. Or you can just press play on the Wink podcast. And finally, don't forget to give your kids some choices at bedtime. Bedtime doesn't have to be the hardest mile in the race. It doesn't have to be a battle. It can actually be the best part of our day with our kids, with a little planning and a little intentionality. Whether you're a parent, a grandparent, or even a babysitter, better bedtimes for all of us are really only a wink away.
The Lisa Show is a production of BYU Radio, hosted by Lisa Valentine Clark. This episode was produced by Erica Price with help from Becca Hurley, Blake Morse, and Kenny Mears, with post-production by Gracie Davis. Stephanie Roth is a professional storyteller and the host of the new podcast Wink on BYU Radio. Links to Wink's YouTube channel and more of Stephanie's work will be in the show notes. Be sure to check out the Council of Moms, available on YouTube or wherever you listen. As always, thanks for your messages. We read them all, and thanks for listening.
I would like to introduce you to another gem of a show from the BYU Radio family of podcasts, In Good Faith. Dive into an enriching world of spiritual exploration with Stephen Cap Perry. On each episode of In Good Faith, members of different religions and spiritualities are interviewed to better understand their relationship with the divine. Whether you wish to strengthen your own relationship or just listen to thoughtful conversations about religion, In Good Faith is sure to uplift and enrich your life. Listen to In Good Faith wherever you get your podcasts.